Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you lift your hands and talk to Jesus? Let's whisper something to the Lord very quickly. If you know Jesus, talk to Him. Talk to the Lord. Ask Him to minister to you tonight. It's very easy to get to know a man. It's very easy to get familiar with the ministry of a man. And when you listen to that man, you can virtually tell everything he will do as the meeting progresses. You know when he's on the ground floor. You know when he so ascends. You know when he enters into the spirit. You can master the operation of the Spirit of God in the soul of a man. You can even write a treatise about it. But most times, a lot of us, we suffer gross scarcity in the knowledge of Jesus. Do you not wonder how the men you know and everything you know about them vanishes from your mind the moment you are in trouble? The only thing that will stay, the only thing that will walk you through darkness, it is the amount of God that you have apprehended in your soul. No matter how special a man is, no matter how beautiful the anointing of God is on the life of a man, he is still a man. That's why they are called men of God. They are not God of men. But most of us don't know God. We know men, so we pursue them from place to place. We pursue them from state to state, territories to territories, nations to nations. But we have not taken time to appraise ourselves. Paul said, examine yourself to see whether ye be in the faith. Whether that Christ be formed in you, except your mind is reprobate. The goal is not the man you know. He said, did Paul die for you? Did Cephas die for you? Did Apollos die for you? It was Jesus that died. It was Jesus that was crucified. You may come to a point in your life where your greatest desire is to please a man. So you are praying, there's no connection with Jesus, but suddenly as apostle walks through the hall, then you feel something, you feel an emotion, and you say, we are weak. He said, if you faint in the day of trouble, your strength is small. Can you talk to Jesus? The knowledge of God is scarce in our day, in our time. The Bible said in the day of Samuel, he said, those days the word of the Lord was scarce. Not many people knew him. There were many priests. Eli was a priest. He was an old priest. At the time, he was the only patriarch that was in Israel. But Eli had lost alignment. The sons of Eli had lost alignment. So the voice of God was scarce. There was no king in Israel. There was no judge. There was no prophet. All Israel had at the time was a priest. Cardinal. In the responsibility of a priest is to interpret the law. A priest is supposed to be a master of the Torah. And by wisdom, tap into the vault of knowledge that is encapsulated in the Torah. And then bring perspective to a generation as to what God wants to do per time. But that kind of knowledge is not a function of mental rigor. What is expected of a priest is by the sacrifice of alignment, be drawn into the vault of knowledge that comes from Zion. So that when the priest talks, it is the voice of God you hear. Unfortunately, Eli had lost alignment. And the Bible said the voice of God was scarce in Israel. The hope that Israel had was predicated upon the fact that a man needed to arise on the landscape that knew how to enter into the spirit. A man that will hear the voice of God fresh was the only salvation that Israel needed. And Samuel was that man that rose. You know, Eli knew the voice of God, but the voice of God was scarce. When God called Samuel, he ran to Eli. When he went the third time, Eli said, whenever you hear the voice again, tell him, thy servant is here. He knew the voice of God, but the voice of God was scarce. Does it not occur to you how much we know the move of the Spirit? We know the power of God. We can literally discern the movement of God in a meeting. But when was the last time you heard the voice of God? There's no relationship. We are religious men. We understand the cliche. We understand the motion. When was the last time God spoke to you about your life and your destiny? Is it possible that you have been walking by trial and error? Is it possible that you have been walking based on assumptions? You check here, check there, and you say, this must be what God is saying. We guess, we keep guessing. When you cast your mind back, you will realize it's been 10 years, you're on the same mountain. Examine yourself to see whether ye be in the faith, whether Christ be formed in you, except you be reprobate. The psalmist says, count your blessings, name them one by one. That is a man that is walking progressively with God. He knew when all he had was the knowledge of the scriptures. He knew when he moved and he began to hear the voice of God. He knew when the power of God began to move through him. He knew when the anointing was not just about people falling down, but the needs of men could be met. He's a man that grows, he's progressive. Because there's a voice that constituted a compass. That compass was his tool of navigation. But a lot of us, I love men of God, I love them. I love Apostle, I honor him. But my destiny is hanging on the voice of God. And we amount to nothing except as I learn how to hear the voice of God. Because men are men. No matter how good they are men. They are limited. Their reality is factored into time, space, and matter. What gives them an edge is the secret they understand, the technology by which they know how to tap into the vote of life. That is what makes them different. And the goal of the fivefold ministry is not to become a compass for your life. The goal of the fivefold is to get you to rise and grow in maturity. It says so that you are no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You come to a point where you know Jesus for yourself. You come to a point where you grow in stature in the spirit. The energy you function with becomes the life of God. But when we look around us, many people following many people. We celebrate them so much until they become superstars. But we check our life. We have followed some men for 10 years. There is no difference. Talk to Jesus. Tell him you want him. Paul said, if I be a servant of man, then I am not the servant of Jesus. This is not supposed to suggest rebellion. This is not supposed to suggest disloyalty. This is telling you where his fellowship is fused. Where his commitment derives from. Talk to Jesus. You see, a lot of us don't even know how to worship. When we are worshiping, we are waiting for a good music. Then we close our eyes very hard. You are still in the hall. You don't ascend by closing your eyes. You are sent because you are carried by the Spirit. He said, holy men of God. He said, they spake as they were carried. They were carried. They were carried. John was in the Isle of Patmos, in the midst of challenges. He said, I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And as he turned, he was carried into the Spirit. It was not an act in the flesh. They didn't need to close their eyes. Ezekiel said, I was among the captives by the river Kabar. And I saw visions of God. He was sitting by the side of the river. His eyes were open. He was numbered among captives. He said, I was by the river Kabar. I saw visions of God. The guy was not praying. He understood when the heavens opened. He knew the movements in the spirit. That's a man of the spirit. That's a man of the spirit. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw visions of God. You don't ascend by closing your eyes. You have done it for many years. Did you not notice that when your challenges come, you close your eyes, and when you open it, your challenge is still there. Because the power that shifts things is not in the act, it's in the spirit. Talk to Jesus. We do the same thing over and over and over, and we expect a different result. When was the last time you appraised yourself? I was here yesterday when Apostle was ministering. I just went to the back and I sat down. I began to think about my life. Every day you come, this man speaks like somebody who lives in heaven. And all you enjoy is to come under that atmosphere. You just feel the euphoria. You enjoy the presence. Where are you with Jesus? What is your walk with Jesus? You are in a clan where we are. This is a clan of people of prayer. But every day you come to pray is still a struggle.
When will the spirit of prayer come upon you?
We need to hear the voice of God. Say, the voice of God is full of majesty. The voice of God is upon many waters. It divided the flames of fire. It causes the hind to calve. It discovered the forest. The voice of God, the secret of invincibility, is in your dexterity in picking the voice of God. That's what makes a man invincible. That's what makes your challenges skip like rams before you. It skips like ram.
Like a river, we wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. Like a river, we wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. Like a river, we wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. Like a river, we wait to see your face. We wait to hear your voice. Like a river,
we give you praise, we give you glory. We extol your great majesty. We've come to be instructed even tonight. We've come to be schooled in your ways. We ask, O God, that beyond the words that will come, let there be a supply of your spirit. We ask that there be a quickening on our inside, that we carry us to heights in Zion, where men are formed, where the spirit of just men is made perfect, where the callings of men become visible, where giftings become a natural heritage of mankind. We ask that you quicken us. We ask that you strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man. And we ask, O God, that in our vessels you will find worthy ambassadors of Zion. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. You see, when Reverend Tony called me last night and said I was going to be engaging, I was in the room with Brother Victor. We were studying the scriptures. You see, in the month of February, we decided that we've heard a lot of things, and we sense that there is a window that is opened. And we understood that it would be needful for us to sustain a new kind of mentality in order to enter into what God was opening. And the best way we saw or understood to reprogram our mind was to feed it with new sets of data. Because you see, the mind is like a processor. There is nothing spiritual or evil about the mind. The mind is just a processor of the kinds of information it is fed with. If you hear negative stories for a long time now, after 3 months, you'll begin to think like that. And if you hear positive things, especially spirit-energized communications for a long time, you'll begin to process positively. That's how the mind works. So we said we were going to bombard the mind until we compel it not to think any other thing that it was educated with before, but to begin to think and talk the word. So we embarked on, we created a very strange timetable. You know, that one is our body. But one of the things we decided to do was to read the New Testament in every 7 days. So it would take you many hours of study. And then sometimes, because of the activities in the day, you are compelled to read through the night. So it was that activity we were engaging when your call came in that I was going to engage. And instantly, as we were talking, an anointing came into the room. And we began the service. And the very utterances that was meant for this meeting, it came down in the room there. And the power of God that came to the room was so intense. So I told Ogbe that today is a day of glory. It's going to be a night of glory. You know, 4 days ago, we were at the NCCF house, family house, to share with them for 50 minutes. And when they gave me the mic, as I just lifted my voice, the power of God began to move. And we couldn't share the word of God that day because the power of God moved until the time was over. I had to constrain the leadership to speak. But when I went out today, came back preparing for the meeting, the Holy Ghost began to breathe on my mind. And they said, go and share with them precepts, principles, so that they can practice. Because a lot of people are weak on the inside. They need to become strong. You see, one of the reasons you see the move of God, the Lord blesses us here with the move of God, amidst other things, is to make it easy for you to begin to believe spiritual things. When you see the power of God continuously, it becomes easy for you to believe in the move of the power of God. But if you must grow in God, you need to journey beyond moving. The word of God must become the raw material of your spirit. The word of God must become the substance of your meditation and contemplation. You see, Apostle was sharing yesterday, he said it's good to pray. He said, but at most you pray in the morning for some hours. But when you go out, what you do for the next 24 hours is what determines the fate and the orientation of your life. When you are not flooded with the word of God, as you are done with your activity, sometimes it doesn't take up to 30 minutes to diffuse everything you have incubated yourself with. That's why you come for a meeting, the power of God is strong. You even wept in the meeting. But before you got to your house, everything diffused. And then the day returns to normal. Because you are not taught how to manage the presence. You don't know how to practice and to keep the presence. And oftentimes when you are in a challenge, you will notice that all the atmosphere of glory you were under, you will forget it. Your mind will begin to search desperately, looking for something to anchor on. And then you will search and find nothing. You see, most of our sisters here, when they are in the theater to give birth, in the midst of that pain, they begin to search for the word of God. They are looking for something to hold on to. It's like a man drowning. You are drowning by the riverbank. You are looking for something to hold. Then you struggle. You discover there is nothing. Now, the energy you had in you before you began to drown, you will dissipate all of it, trying to stay afloat. When the energy goes, then you will drown. So most times when you pray and you build capacity in prayer, but you ask, the word of God is cast in your spirit, there will be nothing for your faith to anchor on. So when you want to make a serious decision, you begin to run looking for somebody to decide for you. Because the word that should instruct you is not there in your spirit. So when you find a man who is weak, it's because there is scarcity of anchor in his spirit. So it is high time to beat down on the euphoria and to begin to find out the substance of the Word of God, so that we can become strong. You see, we pray here all the time. But if I ask us a question, what are the spiritual principles that you practice as a Christian? You will discover that a lot of us, we just float. We come for the prayer meeting, we are done. We float all through the day until we come for the prayer meeting again. So it becomes a challenge. Did you not notice that if our lives were affecting people and everything we do here was actually speaking in our lives, this very meeting will sustain a different tempo? But most times you stroll out of your house, nobody even notices that you are a child of God. Nobody even notices anything is happening around you. So you stroll in and out, and then you motivate yourself that you are praying. If the prayer begins to affect the texture of your soul, something will happen. It will begin to illuminate your environment. It will begin to dominate your environment. Because the first thing it will do is to dominate you. And then when you are colonized, you become a tool for colonizing your environment. Most of us have challenges. Sometimes last year I was attacked. My health was attacked. And suddenly fear began to creep in my heart. And I settled down. I said, what? I can't tell you the number of healings I saw last year. Healings. I'm not talking about I had back pain. I had headache. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about bones, broken bones, returning. Somebody had an accident from a car accident. The hip, after operating, the hip left the joint. It was in excruciating pain for more than 1 year, 6 months. It was in the meeting. I didn't even pray. The bone returned. Those are the kind of testimonies I'm talking about. Deafness. Unstopped. I was in Wukari. They brought somebody from the theater into the meeting with drip. Instantly, everything left him. This was not a meeting I prepared for. We were going for spiritual awakening in BSU, and apostle came and said, you go to Ukari tomorrow for a 3 days meeting. And we saw all of this. But my health was attacked, and the first thing that came out of my spirit was fear. It dawned on me that even some of us that by mercy have seen a measure of the anointing is not enough to preserve us. So you can be anointed and die. It behoves every Christian to come back and sit down, put the subjectivity aside, and begin to chew on the Word of God. You find out different areas of your life where you want to make progress and find out what is your anchor in those areas. That was when, for the first time, I consciously gathered scriptures on healing and began to eat them. You know, when you connect with the apostle and his spirit rests on you, you can come and you will open the scriptures. You will talk for 2 hours. Before you get halfway, the whole place will scatter. People will literally be vibrating. But what will make you is the word that is alive in your spirit. For the first time, I gathered healing scriptures and I began to meditate. I started reading, memorizing them, and talking them to myself. Because I knew the reason I was attacked in the first place was because there was a vent. There was an opening. And any area of your life where you see an attack is an area of the deficiency of the knowledge of Jesus. He said, according as his divine power has given unto us everything that pertaineth to life and godliness. But he said, it is through the epignosis of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So any area of your life where you cannot see the manifestation of the fullness of life, then there is ignorance in the epignosis, in the knowledge of him that has called you to glory and virtue. So the first thing you need to do even before praying is to renew your mind. Because there is a gap that the enemy has discovered and is exploiting it. Renewal of mind is one of the heaviest molecules in the kingdom. If your mind is not renewed, you can pray about something for 10 years, you will not have any result. Because it is your mind that conducts the life and the power of God. You see, the fullness of God is already in your spirit. I'm saying this because I'm going somewhere. I want to talk to us about healing. Because by the time I'm rounding up, I'm deliberately keeping the place calm. By the time I'm rounding up, we will consciously engage those who are sick. And then we will check the progress. You know, I was in the meeting. More than 50 persons went under the power when I was praying. And then as I called for testimonies, not up to 10 were healed. And then I asked myself, these people that fell down, what was happening? I was praying for the sick. More than 50 people went under the power. Not up to 10 were healed. I now discovered that sometimes your greatest undoing is your subjectivity. It is easy to follow the rhythm of an atmosphere, but what really changes you is the tangibility of the power of God that enters into your life. You can fall under the power, your business will be dying. Something must enter into you to quicken you with the capacity to speak to your business to move forward. But that is where we are grossly lacking most of the times. And that is why the movement of the Pentecostal movement is called a charismatic movement. Somebody is sick. He falls down 10 times in 10 meetings. He is sick. He goes back and he says, oh boy, the power of God. No, the power of God you need is not the slaying power. You have a challenge. You need to learn to exercise your faith to deal with that issue. But the undoing of the charismatic movement is the enjoyment of the atmosphere. The pedestrian of the euphoria of the meeting beyond the tangibility that is happening beneath. And only few find it. So it's important for us to renew our minds. Because if our minds are not renewed, we will not make the most of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you, dearly beloved, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And he said, do not conform yourself to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What Paul was trying to say is, if you want your experiences to be different from the experiences of the world and the people therein, you must get your mind renewed so that you can be metamorphosed. The word transformation is metamorphosed. Molecularly, you are altered. If you are sick, something must first of all happen to your mind that will make you not to think sickness. Else you will pray loud but have no result. Because God does not only hear the prayers that come from your mouth. He hears the one that projects through your thoughts. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, it said God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. It didn't say ask and think. If I say sit here or here, it means both here and here are equal. So anyone you choose is okay. So when you are talking and thinking, if you are talking healing, but you are thinking sickness, you are thinking fear, you are thinking death, you have neutralized on a very equal scale what you are uttering. It shows you the supremacy of the mind in kingdom economy. And the only tool that renews the mind is the word of God. You see, we have even come to a point now where we come for a meeting and then we say, oh boy, that meeting, they... Well, fine. Because people didn't fall down shouting and your emotions were not tilted and you were not excited. So we bring our discernment to the level of our feelings. But the Bible said the just shall live by faith. Faith is the product of the word of God internalized. So he said, the just shall live by the products of the word of God. But we live by feelings. be transformed. Paul said, I fear lest you get beguiled. You get beguiled the way Satan beguiled Eve from the simplicity of the gospel. Somebody said, if the gospel is not simple, you can't preach it to all the world. How can children hear it? How can the elders hear it? You see, we are people that God has helped us to understand mysteries. So we talk a lot of mysteries. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, in order to zero in on what you need, you must know the exactness of the facts that are there. The exact thing that the word says, you must zero in on it. Else you will have all you need, but you will not receive from it. And you will do a lot of gymnastics. This evening I want to help us by the word to renew our minds. Some of these scriptures you may have heard about them, but you don't exactly know what they say. I assure you. You know, there are lots of scriptures you quote because you heard somebody quote it. Your faith can't be built like that. Because you don't know exactly what the scripture is saying. You know, when you guys go to 100 level, I heard they usually tell you ahead of time in 100 level about cadaver, in 200 level. That's where they give you the dead. You begin, medical people will begin to, how does, what? You know, they tell you about it. You can even go and gist somebody about what you do in 200 level, how they bring the dead and say all kinds of. But the day you confront with the dead for the first time in the lab, you notice there were some motions. Your heart began to come close to your throat as if it would jump. Your brain shut down. It stopped working. Because when you see for yourself, then you enter into experience. We know a lot of things about the word of God, but we don't know it. That's why we are troubled. People who have grown in God, they know the importance of these things. If you check the content of Paul's prayer, then you understand what Paul holds very high. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 20, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's Paul praying for a church. There were many things the church needed. He was praying for wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of Jesus. He said that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, so that you will know the riches of the gospel. Because it's possible for you to even preach the gospel, you won't know the riches. You can preach healing, but you will die of sickness. You can preach power, but you will die of the scarcity of power. The only way you can come into understanding of the riches of the gospel is that you will be furnished with the spirit of wisdom and knowledge. The spirit of wisdom is Sophia. It is the understanding of the precepts, the principles that governs a reality. When you have wisdom about something, you know how it works. So you need to know how the word of God works. You need to know how Jesus as a person works. You know, the Bible said God taught, Moses had the ways of God. The children of Israel had the acts of God. They knew the power of God. They could talk about it. But Moses knew how it works. So when Paul is talking about wisdom, he said you need to be furnished with an understanding of the technology of the operation of the life and the power of the Christos. And he said the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. The word enlightened is the word fortizo. It means let there be an illumination in your mind. Your mind is suddenly illuminated. Then when you hear the love of God, as you are going, one dimension opens. That one rests with you for 3 days. By the time you are rounding up that one, then another dimension opens. Then another dimension opens. You remember Ogbe's testimony from last year? A song just came. He said, this God, the big O. And then he was singing it. At first, he was enjoying the song. Suddenly, light came. This is not a song for you to enjoy. This song is trying to bring an awareness to you that God is big. And the moment it dawned on him, suddenly, somebody came and gave him tithe. This is not a pastor. He said, sir, please take tithe. He turned to go. And that person came and said, sir, can you please manage this seed? He has been enlightened. Illumination has come. So when he's singing that song now, he's not, you may see him singing it and crying. It's not the melody. You know, most of us are used to melody. When we say, Ale, 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 then you, the melody. No. When a man is illuminated, he journeys beyond the feeling. He leaves the euphoria. He enters into the depth. When he's singing this God is big, he's actually seeing the magnitude, the abilities, and the capacities of God. But you need to slow down before you get to that level. You know, you may have challenge and you are talking to God. Baba, 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 baba. And then this thing will happen. This thing. Then the Holy Ghost comes and is whispering how it will happen, but you didn't hear. He will wait again. You go and pray again. When you are illuminated and you are heightened, he will come again and say, okay, do like this, do like this. That, the time he's talking, that time you are already gone. So you will do it for 3 years. Maybe the day God will help you is that day. Maybe you were going somewhere, you hit your leg somewhere, you lie down for 3 days. That time you lay down, you became calm. And the Holy Ghost will come and say, that thing I was telling you 5 years ago, this is what it means. It's called illumination, fortizo. You'll be illuminated. That's when you wake up. And then the Holy Ghost say, pray about your business around 1 a.m. in the morning. You don't know why. Maybe that's when your angels come from heaven. That's not a doctrine. That is fortizo. It's illumination. You are pregnant, and then when you reach the fourth month, you say, don't drink water in the morning. If you don't hear that thing, the day of delivery, make sure you gather enough intercessors. Because the power you will generate before you undo what you should have handled by not drinking water, that power will be very big. But you know the one giving us testimony how a tipper came. And a whole tipper turned on. It took him, God helped him to dig through the whole sand that a tipper. Maybe there was an instruction that if he had illumination, he would have, there wouldn't have been need to dig the whole tipper. And thank God that day you have strength. It's illumination. All of us have healing in Christ. The difference is the mentality. And it's not something you use zeal. You will struggle and then you will lie down. Wake up, struggle again. It's not bad. Some of us, when we were younger, we were playing PS. You know, when you are playing PS, there's a spot that you'll come around the angle 90. If you shoot from there, you will score. Usually, when you are approaching that spot, your leg begins to do like this. This one won't help. If you want to get that spot, master the keys. Because what you are doing with the keys is equivalent to a kick. Have you played Sega? When you want to punch the guy, if they are punching you, you'll be doing like this. This one won't help. This is in another dimension. The guy fighting is in the screen. And the only connection between you and the guy in the screen is the button. So what you want to do by the power of the Holy Ghost is not on your body. It's in the spirit. The connection is the faith of the Son of God. And it comes by your apprehension of the word. That's why you see most of us shout a lot. But you may shout and your emotions will be stirred. But what you want to move, the spirit that should move it is in another dimension. If you don't make contact with him, forget. You will shout like that until you go home, take Panadol, come and shout again. The renewal of the mind is so important by the word of God. To what extent is your mind renewed? Can you just check quickly that thing you are trusting God for? What do you know about it? By what technology is it done? You know, it's easy to hear apostles' mighty stories of exploit, and then as you are hearing it, sometimes as you want to charge. No. My brother, there is something the man knows. That thing you are trusting God for, what do you know about it? You need to dig. You need to dig deep. It's a renewing of the mind. I will show us a few scriptures about healing so that we can practice it here this evening. How many persons feel discomfort, sickness, or whatever? You feel sick or something, pain, sickness? Don't worry, just lift your... Faith is not the denial of fact. He said, he called those things that be not as though they were. He didn't say, he called those things that be as though they were not. That's not what he's saying. It's not denial of fact. It's refusal of fact to have dominion over you. All right? How many of us feel discomfort, pain, any form of sickness? So when we finish this night, will we practice it? If it doesn't work, then there are three possibilities. One, either that we don't have what it takes to handle it. Or two, what we are preaching is not accurate. Because one of the responsibilities of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the world. But let me assure you, it's not your fault. Because for you to come means you have enough faith. You see, Catherine Coleman was provoked. She goes for faith meetings, healing meetings, and a lot of people will go back, they will not be healed. And then she asked herself, what is wrong? Then the preachers will say, well, you don't have enough faith. The Lord will help you with faith and then you will be... She couldn't understand. How can somebody who is sick and helpless struggle through the pain? Some of them travel for 10 hours and they come for the meeting. They lie in the stadium from morning to evening. And then you come, you say they don't have faith. Oga, we have to redefine faith. Because if it's faith, this one's dead, it's not lacking. You have more than enough faith. I assure you. What you need is an understanding of how it works. That is how the things of God works. And that's what we will learn. We will keep practicing until we enter into it. And we sit there. The Bible said the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because they know not how to enter the city. The problem is not that the city is not there. The problem is not that they cannot enter. They know not how. So they labor to enter, but they don't know how. I will show us a few things. Some of these scriptures are very simple scriptures. Most of us know them. But the problem is that we don't have the discipline to stay on them. You know, if a doctor gives you a drug, he said, take this drug for 6 months. Every day, morning, afternoon, and evening, you will take it like that for 6 months. If you miss one, you want to die. But when you come to spiritual thing, you think it's magic. No, it's not magic. There is a how it works. I want to show you how it works and debunk the many things they told you that have made it impossible for you to receive what is rightly yours in God. Most of the things you were told are wrong. So you judge yourself, you put yourself under guilt, you make yourself feel it's your fault, it's a lie. I have studied a lot, and when I study about something, I study from somebody that have the proof. Because I can come now and show you 10 principles of becoming a millionaire. The first question you ask me is not that does this thing work. Ask me how much do you have in your account. If I don't have up to 1 million, that principle that you go and practice it first. So the things I want to share with you, I studied them, I have practiced some of them, and I studied them from those that it works in their life. They have the proof. And since I started practicing them, I started seeing mind-blowing things. The word of God is not difficult. It's not difficult. God does not just want to give you healing. He wants you to walk in divine health. Hallelujah. Are we together? You want to hear those things? Are you going to practice them? You know, this is an in-house meeting, so... It's not meeting to come and fly. Will you practice those things? They are simple, like I told you, but you need to believe them and practice them. Kenneth Hagin said something. He said, when you want to grow, you don't eat food and check the length of your leg. He said, keep eating. One day you come and wear the trouser you wore 6 months ago and you discover the trouser is now a jumper. Because growth is a process. Are we together? And then you don't eat pounded yam today and say, I'm tired of eating starch. I won't eat starch again till next year. Oh God, you will die of lack of energy. So you will eat it and you will keep eating it. You will keep. So the first thing I want to show you is that when you pray for healing or when you desire healing, it's not coming from heaven. You already have healing in your spirit. That's how simple it is. You already have healing in your spirit. You know, this is a healing service. I want to show us some of the basic principles. You already have healing in your spirit. The totality of everything God has to offer, power, healing, signs, wonders, miracles. It's in himself. When God wants to give you something, he doesn't pick it from the moon and give you. It's in himself. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, it said Christ has been made unto us. You see, he was all of those things. But in order for you to participate in the experience, he said he was made unto you. Wisdom, righteousness. But the list continues. You know why? Because Christ is the culmination of the totality of everything that is in the Godhead. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 and 2 verse 19, it said it pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him bodily. So everything God has to offer is encapsulated in the person called Jesus. So when God gave you Jesus, he gave you everything. In Ephesians 1:3, these are simple scriptures, you know. But as we go on, I will show you why it's not working. In Ephesians 1:3, it said, thanks be to God who has given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Healing is a spiritual blessing, but it's in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. And the only part of you that is currently in heavenly places is your spirit. So you have healing in your spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you read from verse 17 down to 19, it shows you the mystery of how you can enter into the experience of another person. It's by joining together. So he said, if you join your body to a harlot, you are one with the harlot. He said, the same way, whoever is joined with the Lord, he said, he is one spirit. It's difficult now to, if we can find your spirit, it will be difficult to separate your spirit from the Spirit of God. There is so much oneness that you cannot tell which is you and which is God. So the fullness of God is not just in your spirit, but you have become one with the fullness of God. So if there is healing in Jesus, you have healing in your spirit. But this thing will take you, it will take the spirit of revelation for you to get to understand it. So most times when we pray, we don't know whether we should ask healing to come from heaven or we should bring out healing from our spirit. So our minds are divided. But if you stay on the scriptures, after some time, it will become real to you. It will become more and more. You know, the Bible said, we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord. He said, we are changed into that image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. So you look upon this for a long time so that you are reprogrammed. I was talking with, I think, Rita the other time. And when somebody was talking about a challenge that he or she had, and then when we went out, she told me, when she was talking, she was just seeing the cause of the thing and how her body was. I think that was about last year now. The person was, maybe you come, you are complaining of malaria. What she's seeing is how, what's the name of the, how the plasmodium is working in your cells, the protocol of the plasmodium, how it's dominating. That's what she is seeing. You know, when somebody talk malaria here, you at best, if you visualize it, you see the person lying down shaking. They are seeing something more molecular. Because by reason of medical practice, you have been trained to think like that. The same way you will look on the world until it will make you, it will reprogram your mind. A point will now come, there will be assurance that no, there is healing in me. The moment that assurance is born, your mind will begin to traffic a different energy. You know, your thought in this realm is intangible. And that is because your mind operates in a realm higher than the natural. The soulish realm is called the preternatural realm. It's also an invincible dimension. So when you think, when thoughts project from you in the natural, it's intangible. But if you go to the preternatural realm and you begin to see those thoughts, they are actually tangible substances. That's why demons can perceive. They can peep into your soul and perceive. And when they want to hold you, they want to hold you in bondage, is the soulish realm they attack you from. Because the tangibility of your soulish reality is in another dimension. You don't operate from that dimension, so you don't see it. So long as you continue working with the mentality, you can't even regulate it. The unconscious mentality that you are bound, it is speaking loud in the preternatural realm. So even if God wants to help, yourself will be fighting against the help of God. So you are saying help, but you are saying I'm sick, I can't be healed, I will die. Do you not notice how Satan fights you? The moment they say you are sick, one day he can give you 30 snapshots of you dying. He's trying to reprogram you. Because the moment you agree in your thought, you have aligned with him. So there's nothing God can do for you. The moment you are sick, every time you sleep, every time you close your eye, you are just in death. Death. Sometimes you even imagine how people will come to your burial, the things they are telling your brothers and sisters. You see how they are telling your brother that, sorry, God will help. If the devil is just, but Jesus said, take no thoughts. Because as you keep imagining it and visualizing it, a point comes, you speak it. The moment you speak it, you have taken it. So Jesus said, take no thoughts. He went to the fig tree, and the fig tree had no fruit. And the Bible said, Jesus answered. Oga, when were you talking before you answered? There was a communication in the mind. He said, Jesus answered the fig tree. He said, no man shall eat of you thereof. And nothing happened. But the apostles watched. You know, those guys were critical people. It's here in Africa that nothing happened. And then you just assume by, don't respect the man of God. Oga, follow truth. So that it will help your life. When they came back the next day, I'm sure there were trees around. Peter said, Master, this is the same fig tree you cut yesterday. So as they were coming back, if the fig tree was not dry, Peter would say, sir, this fig tree is still healthy. What? You know, these guys are strange people. Jesus said, Lazarus sleeping, let's go and wake him. They now say, if he's asleep, he will wake up now. Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. I'm going to wake him. Thomas looked at Jesus. He said, let's go and die with him. If you don't understand, how are you going to raise the dead? So these guys were objective people. Do you understand? And they were raw. The way they were raw. But they followed very closely. You need to eat these scriptures. Chew it every day. Some of us can travel, go stay somewhere for 2 weeks waiting for a man of God to come and say you are healed. There are more than 50 places where the scriptures say you are healed. If you dwell there for long, a time will come when as you are taking your bath, then you will hear the scripture will now have a voice. You see, have you not noticed that if you don't have the raw material of the Logos in you, rhema will be scarce? I know a lot of you that say, I don't hear God. You can't hear God because God amplifies the Logos. The rhema is the Logos spoken. The living word spoken is what we call the rhema. The rhema is the amplification of the written word. So if the written word is cast in you, the rhema will be hard. It will be difficult. Because that's what the Holy Ghost broods on. The Bible said, in John chapter 1, from verse 12 to 14, it said, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. He said, they that believe on his name. And he said, and we beheld him, in verse 16. He said, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at what was happening. Everybody knew he was the Logos, turned flesh. But the ones that beheld him, a point came, they didn't see the Logos. A point came, they didn't see flesh anymore. They began to see the glory. And anybody that sees the glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says he's changed. So most of us, we just flip through, we see the Logos. And then we go back. That's why nothing happens. He said, they that beheld, they looked at him, they monitored him closely. A point came, they didn't see the Logos anymore. A point came, they didn't see the word made flesh. They began to see the glory. He said, full of grace and truth. And they didn't stop there. He said, of his fullness have we all received. Because the man that sees it has the right to receive. Very simple scriptures, but it can change your life. It's not every time we come, we talk mysteries. Sometimes the most mysterious things are hid in simple, simple things. That's why he said, don't allow the devil corrupt you by the subtlety. The subtlety of the devil, he will corrupt you the way he beguiled Eve. Have you not seen people that have challenges, but they don't find out what God said? I was tempted to go a lot of places because I have opportunity to meet most people. But I've received many words in the past. At best, they were seeds in my spirit. It is what I do with them that will determine the extent to which they will manifest. How much time have you given to the word? A time comes when you hold the word ransom. This is what you said. Bring it to pass. The one you walk with every day is not the mystery. It's not those high things about the angelic realm, the angelic ranking, the dimensions of glory. No, you don't walk with that one every day. The little ones that you need for everyday life are the ones you despise. That's why most times you want to take decisions, you need 30 people to advise you. Because the instruction of the word is not there. And even the Holy Ghost can't help you. The Bible said, how be it when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when he's talking about guiding you into all truth, he's talking about guiding you into the multifaceted dimensions of Jesus. But most times there's scarcity. There's deficiency. The healing you are looking for is not with a man. It is easier to receive healing by faith than by the anointing. There are different, you know, Barrister told us a story here about a man that had a challenge. He trespassed a witch coven, and then the lady tried to save her, went to the village. He burnt the hanky. And then if you do that, you will die. They will invoke something and death sentence will come on you. And then when the lady saw that the man was going to die, she quickly rushed to the village in the spirit and spoke with the person that initiated. And the person said, go back quickly, do like this, do like this, do like this. When the lady came back, there were some prayer warriors there. But the thing is, they were generating something, but the strength of the anointing was not sufficient to address the challenge. The lady said, wait, let me do something. The prayer warriors prayed the man to death quietly. They didn't have the power to challenge what was wrong with the person. Because when you operate by the anointing, there are a lot of protocols involved. The power of God can be here. The measure that will reach you is the one I can conduct. If I conduct what is beyond my capacity, myself will be slain. It's just like electricity release and then the volt is too high, the wire will melt. You can't conduct it. So there are lots of limitations in trusting God for healing by the anointing. And if you look around honestly, there are few people that can command that thing in a very large voltage. Have you not seen meetings where 400 people go under the power, 10 are healed? It's easy to see that it's in different intensities. But the easiest thing to do is to go to Jesus. And the Jesus you see today is his word. There is not one person Jesus turned back. Not one. If you go to Jesus, he won't tell you it's because of your ancestors. Everybody Jesus healed, all of them were in sin. You know, there are lots of theories now that sin chokes the power of God. And that ancestral patterns. When you go to Jesus, those things don't stand. They don't stand. And if sin chokes the power of God, you wouldn't have been saved. Because you were not just in sin, yourself was a sinner. You yourself was sin. But you were changed. You were converted with ease. Because you went to Jesus. The same way if you have a challenge, if you can find the word for your challenge will vanish like the wind. But the last thing we get to is the word of God. People go to wait for men of God for 2 weeks. They sleep on the mat outside. But if you tell them to fast and pray for 7 days for healing, They will never do that. John Austin, Joel Austin's father, the wife was sick. All the healing ministers in the world, the Kenneth Higgins, the Oral Roberts, they ministered to her, nothing happened. The doctor gave her 3 days to live. And the woman went, got 40 scriptures about healing, and she sat on them. And she began to confess those scriptures to herself from morning to night. Those 3 days passed, she was alive for many more years. Many more years she was alive. A point came when her husband was an apostle. John Austin was an apostle of power. Had many friends that were known global healing evangelists. The wife was dying until she took the responsibility, sat on the word, and began to confess the word to herself. You need to wake up and begin to do business with the word of God. A point will come, you discover your destiny depends on it. I was visiting with Barrister the other day, and we were wondering about this covering, this doctrine of covering, spiritual covering. How can you be under a cover and certain things happen? And then the Lord began to help us. That even these men you call cover, most of them collide. Even they collide with things that are threatening to take up their life. The man, you know, maybe you're under a cover and you had an accident. And you say, but my spiritual father says as you travel. Or God, even your spiritual father is colliding with accident. But what keeps him is what he knows. It's his intimacy with Jesus. This is not to talk down on spiritual covering, but this is to tell you that there is a place in God for you. And you must find it. You must find it because your destiny will depend on it. Your destiny will depend on it. Healing is already in your spirit. God has given you Jesus and everything he has. So ask yourself now that you are praying, what else has he to give you? If you come to me now and I say, okay, I give you myself. Everything I own belongs to you. And then you still come and say, give me this one. Oh God, I am bigger than that thing. God is more impressed when we exercise faith. That's why I said the just shall live by faith. But you cannot exercise faith when you don't have a scripture you are standing on. You feed yourself, you get yourself choked with the word of God until in the midst of challenge, the word of God begins to speak. That's what you call the rhema. As you look upon it, the word will begin to change your mentality. It will begin to change your mentality. And ultimately, it will make you become like Jesus. There are certain people that they say they have faith, they've exercised faith, it didn't work. There are a few things you also need to know. For example, in the principle of faith, you don't talk to God about the challenge. You command the challenge. You say, if you believe, you will say unto this mountain. All the mountains in your life, how many have you spoken to before? These things are simple, but they determine the orientation of the power of God. You have a challenge with headache, and all through the night you lay down, you were begging God about the headache. But you say, you speak to the challenge. It's just like I come to this meeting now, somebody is sick. And then I come, I say, Jesus, come and heal this person. Then what am I doing here? He sent me here to represent him. So this is not the time to go and call him, say, come and heal this. That's why I'm here. It's just like these guys, these traffic wardens on the street. You know, they don't have any power in themselves. What they function with is authority. So the guy wants to stop a car. He now said, the government of Nigeria, come now and stop this car. The government, because that is on uniform and that he has a badge, is a sign that he's certified. So when he lifts his hand, it's the government that is lifted. He doesn't need to start explaining himself. If you don't know, collide with him, then you will know somewhere else. He says, say to these mountains, you have many mountains in your life. How many have you spoken to? Simple principles. that we practice. And as you practice it every day, your faith begins to grow. You see, you can see somebody who is fat, and then another person is not so fat, but he gyms. You know, that guy that is fat has more muscles, but his muscles are not exercised. So the guy that gym, if he slap him once, the fat man will begin to cry. And you will come and advise him, say, "Ah, Oga, why you dey cry now?" You know, those days when we were in primary school, you see all these big tata, they will come like this with their big shirt, say, "I will deal with you." You see one guy that used to push truck every day to fetch water from the river. He has exercised his muscles. Then, when you see the size of the tata, he wants to fight this guy that pushed truck every day as he closed from two. Before he eat, he must first of all bring home two trucks of water. And this tata guy that comes to lie down and say, "Give me egg." Even the way they talk, "I will deal with you today." Me? Nami they talk? Ami? Nami? I go. Then you see one tiny guy on the ground dealing with one fat. The difference is not the muscles. The fat guy has more muscles, but this other guy, his muscles are exercised. You talk to the mountain every day. You begin with headache. I command you, go. It may take 1 week. Keep at it. A time will come, you will command cancer. But if you don't begin, you will never grow with God. If you like, pray all your life. You will develop sight in the spirit. You will develop capacity. You will develop all the things you need to get, but they will not be exercised. Just like the prophetic. God will be giving you things. You come to a place, you have this, you just begin to discern certain things, you sense certain things. You shake people, you sense certain things. You don't exercise it. The prophetic energy will never grow. I was with my friend. The guy will tie his face and he will hold you and say, "This is Benedict." He was doing it. He will fail. He will do it again. He will hold you and say, "Come, there are four people in your family. John, Peter." We were laughing at him. He said, "Come on there." He was picking it, missing it, picking it. Because the voice of God is a perpetual continuum. That's what you need to know. The spirit realm is a continuum. All of the realities are already there. How much of it you can pick is how well you have streamlined your senses. A time came, you will call the guy on phone. He will tell you about your grandfather before he tells you about your father, and then begin to tell you about yourself. He exercised it. I am here till today. We are still sensing things around. We not exercise. And the calamity with it is that after a while, the whole world will not know you. Then that time, you can't exercise it again. Because if you fail, that time is king size error. He made all his errors in 10th year. Now, on phone, he gives national prophecies. Now, we are now preaching on the pulpit. If I come here now and say, "Kai, I see John." And you say, "No, I don't have any John in my family. My prophetic ministry has ended." You exercise. Paul said, "When ye ought to be teachers, you have need of being taught the first principles of the oracles of God." Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. He said, "But strong meat, it belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern." Are your senses exercised? Speak to the mountain. A time will be when you start talking, nothing happens. Keep talking. Because the way to receive is not just by the faith declaration. He says, "Be not slothful," Hebrews 6:12, "but followers of them who through faith and patience obtain the promise." You are doing it, it's not moving. Keep at it. Keep at it. A time will come, your family, they'll have a problem. All you need is to speak the word only. Is to speak the word only. Paul was marveling. He said, "How come? How did Abraham enter into all of these dimensions of God? Abraham, our father, what did he find?" And then it dawned on him. He said he found the faith of God. The faith that collect those things that be not as though they were. When God showed up in Genesis 1, the place was full of darkness. God never mentioned darkness, not once. It was Moses that entered into the beginning by the prophetic anointing and told us the earth was full of darkness. If you heard the story from the side of God, you would never have known darkness, because God will never mention it. When God came, he looked at it. His spirit hovered on the water and said, "Let there be light." it was God that told the story, you wouldn't know darkness. Because what he wanted to see was light, and he kept talking light. Let there be light. Let there be light. That's what I want. Well, I don't have time to narrate. Some of us have told 1,000 people that I'm sick. But we have never told the sickness, leave. In Isaiah 33 verse 24, he said, let no one inhabitant of that city say, I am sick. In Joel 3:10, he said, let the weak say, I am strong. He acknowledged that you are weak. He said, but say, I am strong. That's an instruction. Let the weak say, I am strong. You are weak, yes. Nobody is arguing it. But he said, you say, I am strong. That's not denial of fact. That is holding on to the word of God. He said, when men are cast down. He didn't say when men say there's a cast down. He said, when men are actually cast down. He said, but you say there's a lifting up. Because if you follow them to talk casting down, you'll go down. There are principles of faith. You come, everybody that come, oh boy, this business, no, they work. Oh, this business. You don't know you are emitting energy. Negative energy. And then you go and kneel down. Father, make this business work. You come to the business and you are telling the business, this business no go work. Oh, this business no dey work. Oh, Father, Father. You need to practice. That's how you develop your faith for it to work. You speak to the mountain. And when you speak to the mountain, the next thing to do is to act in the direction of your utterance. He will say, I am not sick. Then you begin to act well. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When you take steps of faith, then God, his omnipotence, turns in your direction. Smith Wigglesworth said, God can elude a million people and come to the one man that wants to believe. They know these things. See, the great men, they know these things. Go for their meetings. They don't preach mystery. They'll tell you about unconditional forgiveness. They'll tell you about the love of God. They'll tell you about new creation reality. That's all they preach. I've attended their meetings. Reinhard Bonnke, Reverend Chris Oyakhilome, Andrew Womack, Benny Hinn. Those are the things they teach. That's what will make you. Yes, if God gives you the mantle to shape a generation, you can come and instruct them. So when you hear people like Apostle talking mystery, that is his office. Because the hallmark of the apostolic ministry is not just the manifestation of signs and wonders. The hallmark of the apostolic ministry is the ability to enter into the mind of God and find out the things he's doing in different dispensations. And through the sacrifice of alignment, to trap the grace that is needed to push the church into that operation. That's the hallmark of the apostolic ministry. So if God wants to move into the prosperity phase now, an apostle will enter into the mind of God and come and tell the church, God is bringing prosperity. And then he will tell you what to do to enter into prosperity. So he will bring the church into prosperity. That's why the apostles are saddled with mysteries. Paul said, we are servants of God, therefore we are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. But it's not for everybody. You see the apostle talking about revival, revival, revival now. You are not seeing it yet. They have entered the mind of God. They know that's the next thing God wants to do. That's the hallmark of the apostolic ministry. And as they are teaching people, they'll tell you the strategy is prayer. Stay in the place of prayer until your soul crack. Stay in the prayer until you gain ascendance in the spirit and you are numbered in the army. Something is coming. Something is coming. So everywhere you hear him talking revival, that's it's his office that is driving him. But while the church is entering there, you need faith on everyday living. Everyday living, you need faith for it. So you dwell. When you speak, you go in the direction of your word. And the most heaviest molecule in this operation is to believe what you have said. That's the hardest part. Because you can stand up now and say, I'm okay, I'm fine. But your mind is saying something else. You see, there are two sets of people Jesus rebuked in his healing ministry. There are two sets of people. He frowned so much at them, he couldn't even hold it. The first are those who could not believe. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 17, you know, Jesus went in verse 2, he went to the mountain where he prayed, he was transfigured. The Bible said his raiment shone like the sun and all of that. And then before he came down, somebody brought his child to the apostles on the ground to cast the demon out, and they couldn't. And Jesus came. And the man, well, the man was, you know, those days, I noticed that they were blunt people. It's like they didn't have so much of cuts in their day. When Jesus came, imagine if there were 12 disciples, 3 went up, so 9 were left. Imagine 9 people laboring with your son for hours. And then Jesus comes, instead of you to show clemency, at least respect, don't embarrass these guys. The man came and said, well, my son is demonized. And I gave him to your disciples and they couldn't cast the demon out. Okay. Must you embarrass us before? And Jesus came. Jesus was provoked. He said, you perverse generation. Perverse. He was embittered. How is it that you can't believe? In verse 17, he called them a perverse generation. So one set that Jesus rebuked and was vexed with are unbelieving believers. So when you are struggling with believing, don't think God is pitying you. He has put everything in place for you to believe. God is vexed when we can't believe. They came back to him in verse 20. Why couldn't we cast him out? They said it's because of your unbelief. So unbelief is one thing that chokes the power of God. Because you need to know that as you are confessing and you are acting, it's not positive thinking. What you are confessing is what an immortal spirit have uttered. You are confessing it because you know that the I am that I am was the one that uttered it. So you are anchoring your faith not on positive thinking but on the utterance of a spirit that is eternal. Your pronouncements are trust statements that you are making because you have known that that spirit never fails. His words are eternal. It's not positive thinking. But Jesus frowned at them because of their unbelief. And there are two things that causes unbelief. One is uncertainty. And the second one is doubt. Uncertainty is a function of what's the word now? Lack of assurance. Lack of focus. Lack of a resolute conclusion. So you think it may be this. You think it may be this. So you don't really know where to stand. And those are the type of people that the Bible says they should never expect that they will receive anything from God. He said they waver. He said him that wavereth like a wave of the sea. So that creates unbelief. So you need to settle down and find out what did God really say about this matter. And the second thing is doubt. Doubt is caused by ignorance. When you don't know at all, then you cannot exercise your faith. You know, those days they told us that there are evil spirits in the dark. So when they carry light, you'll be acting as if you are strong. Then they now say, bring knife from outside. Bring knife. Where will I follow? And this knife from outside, you have to cross over to the kitchen outside. That's where you will see Baala. Because there is ignorance. So any area of your life where there is ignorance, you cannot command the power of God. I told you, he said he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But it's through the knowledge of him that has called you to glory and to virtue. So unbelief is one thing Jesus frowns at. And he's frowning at it today. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 verse 8. If he frowned at it yesterday, he's frowning at it today. Some of us come with all kinds of lamentation and we think God is impressed. You are wasting your time. He will not even answer you. He's big. He doesn't have anything to prove. He has given you his word. Master it and follow him. If you don't find it, go and look for a preacher. If you discover an eternity, it's unfortunate. He doesn't prove himself. And when Job foolishly challenged God, he came, he said, who is this again that darkened counsel by word without knowledge? Oh God, you don't challenge this being. See, what you are going through, I weaved it into the foundation of creation. All you need to do is to be furnished with understanding so that you can walk in alignment. God frowns at unbelief. And the second thing God frowns at is the traditions of men. That's the worst. He said you have made the word of God, the commandment of God, of none effect because of your traditions. That's the one that chokes us the most. Matthew 15 verse 6. Mark 7 verse 13. You have made the word of God of none effect. You come to a place, God is there, His power is there, but you are waiting for atmosphere. You say, you know, the atmosphere been day dry, so things be really no happen. You are the one that thinks things did not happen. The Bible said in Luke 5:17, it said on that day Jesus was preaching and the power of God was present to heal. The Pharisees were challenging him. Meanwhile, the power of God was present to heal. Traditions of men. It chokes the word of God. It diffuses it. You are in a meeting. Apostle stands and says, you are healed in the name of Jesus. And then you are waiting for him to finish the service so that you go for him to lay hands on you. When he was talking here, he was not just operating by the resident anointing. He was operating under the authority of his apostolic office. He is 2 times more dangerous on the altar than when he's walking with you. That time is an ordinary man exercising his faith. When he's here, he's walking by an anointing. The anointing of his ordination is what he's speaking from here. He is clothed when he's standing here. But you are waiting, you feel when he will touch you. And then for 2 weeks you come, you say, cut, now what for now? Come on there. And you don't know why. The traditions of men. Even if Jesus appears in the meeting, he can't help you. If he wants to help you, he will first of all educate you. You know, Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead. And Martha met Jesus. He said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus said, Madam, I am the resurrection and the life. I don't function from time. I function from eternity. He said, they that believe in me, even if they were dead, they will come back to life. And if they live, they will never die. Martha said, I know, but at the resurrection, we will all rise. Oh, God! Madam, I'm not talking about the end. See the traditions of men. She felt before Jesus died, the power of God will do something. The person now dies, Jesus comes. He says, it's at the end. Madam, the Rhema word says he will live again. But as strong as the Rhema is, the Rhema was of none effect. Because she diffused it by her traditions. She was looking at the end. God is telling you that now you will become a millionaire. You say, thank God. When 5 years time, when that business mature. Okay, wait until the business mature. You will see the powers you will confront. As powerful as the Rhema is, it may not make any impact in your life because of traditions. Traditions. You choke the word of God. You make a mess of it. Because of what you are thinking in your head. That's why most times preachers do a lot of things. Because if you know that you travel for a meeting for 10 hours and then it's one night, if certain things don't happen, you will lose credibility. Because the people, they know the power of God to be somehow. You know, people have to be screaming and fall down. If people scream and fall down, even if nothing happened, no wahala. Thank God you have saved your face. So ministers do all kinds of things for people. But if you check the scriptures, there are 4 operations of the power of God. 1 is the gift of faith. The gift of faith talks to a mountain and it moves. 2 is the gift of healing. You tangibly change the health status of somebody by power. 3 is the gift of the workings of miracles. The difference between workings of miracles and healing is, in healing, when maybe you were sick, you were bedridden for 6 months, and then the power of God comes upon you, you are healed. But you will still be weak. It will take some time for you to recover. But if the gift of workings of miracles is at work, the moment you are healed, strength will come immediately. It doubles the gift of faith. That's 3 operations of the power of God. And 4 is to challenge the kingdom of darkness. But you can come for a meeting, none of these 4 happen. But we say there is power. The traditions of men. You come for a meeting, you sit down quietly. Somebody came and said, you are healed, but you can't believe it. Meanwhile, it was the Holy Ghost talking to you. But you were waiting for that time when the atmosphere will charge and everybody's. The problem with us sometimes is that we don't do appraisers. I've been under this condition. I've seen this atmosphere 10 times, but things have not changed. There's something else. Sometimes we should ask ourselves. You keep doing the same thing over and over, you're expecting a different result. There's an error. You need to practice certain things and do it consciously. John Gillier gave 7 secrets of the operation of the power of God. 7. None of them has to do with emotion. Meanwhile, this is a man that healed by Jesus, healed 20,000 people in 1 year. 20,000. He raised 16 people. They called them divine healing technicians. They had what they call the healing room. You just come, they pray for you. They teach you the word of God, the way I'm showing you the principles like this, that you have healing in Christ, they'll pray for you. They had 20,000 healings in 1 year. He handed over the ministry to a man called Corey Blake. Corey Blake is the general overseer of John G. Lake Ministries now. Corey Blake, he has raised some persons. They record 100,000 healings in 1 year. They have toppled the record of John G. Lake 5 times. Their meetings are as dry as a rock. Nobody falls down. Nobody cries. It's as dry as a rock. Go to YouTube and type Ora Roberts. When Ora Roberts finish preaching like this, he will tell all the people that are sick to join the line. He will now sit on the altar. He will come, he will lay hands on you, say go. And then they record healings in an alarming fashion. Because what they do is that they dissuade you from the traditions of men. They make you to look at Jesus. Different areas of our lives where we have challenges, but we can't find Jesus. Tonight, we will pray for the sick. You will exercise your faith consciously. Not because you need to do something to bring the healing. I told you before that you don't need to be righteous to be healed. Everybody Jesus healed were sinners. They were not born again. So sin doesn't have the magnitude to choke the power of God. And Jesus never asked any one person about ancestral issues. Go and read the Gospels for yourself. And if there's a special case, when a devil is challenging, he will bring discernment to the man of God. And he will know what to do about it. In your own case, it's just to believe. And the sign that you believe is that you have come. He said, no one that comes to me will I in any wise cast out. He doesn't cast away. All you need to do is to come. There were some he healed, they didn't know him. He went back, he said, who healed you? He said, it's one man. He said, I should carry my mat and go. Oh, guy, you were bedridden for 38 years. You say, one man. You didn't even have the courtesy to ask him, who are you? He came back again and met Jesus. And Jesus said, don't go back to see, or something else may happen to you because it's a window. You are here thinking you must read the Bible 5 times and fast for 30 days before God heal you. He healed somebody, say one man. They believed. The difference is they believed. Can you believe tonight? That's the hardest thing. Sometimes we struggle with it. Your will can't make it happen. It's just to hear the word of God and align. The devil will fight it. He will fight you. He will fight your conviction. Because the day you believe, bondage is over. I was talking to Agba yesterday. I said, sometimes the reason we do all the things we do is to come to a place in God called trust. You see, there are places in Jesus. There's a place in Christ. The name of that place is called trust. When you enter there, darkness doesn't matter. You will walk through the fire, but you know you will not be burned. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found. They say, even if our Lord does not heal us, it doesn't matter. Cast us into the furnace. They cast them there and the one they trusted appeared. It's called trust. If you will journey with him. It's a place. It's a place that only people who press find. Only people who give up everything, they journey into it and find it. You know, most times it's difficult for you to get there because your soul has been trained to rely on many things. You know that time you don't have money. There are 10 friends that come to your mind to call them and ask for money. What you did not know is that the scripture says, woe unto the man that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. He said, because his heart have departed from the Lord. He said he will not see good when he cometh. He is like somebody that is inhabiting a salt land where there is no water. He said, woe unto that man. The moment you had need, there were five people, you called them. A day will come when you will be stranded by the roadside. That day will be the first time you will have need to call on Zion. But the unfortunate thing is that you don't know how to beckon on Zion. You have trained your soul to rely on flesh. He said, your heart have departed from the Lord. Trust is one thing that is lacking. We have a lot of activities, a lot of spiritual activities, but there is no trust. There's no trust. You see a man praying tongues for 10 hours, and then he goes out the next moment, he's asking for help. We don't know trust. Even when you climb to the heights of Zion, if you have not come to that place in Jesus that is called trust, all your spiritual activities will be futile. On one matter, you will stay there for 6 months, you will not have result. At best, you will console yourself with theories and fairy tales. The people that did wonders in scriptures, they never gave themselves excuses. They always made sure they were the ones that failed. Because with God, it will happen. And if they were to die, God will tell them by discernment. He says, some rejected resurrection, deliverance, that they may have a better resurrection. They didn't die and then began to explain that it's because God. No. They knew why. Because they know God. The God they know is an experiential relationship. They journeyed with him until they found that place called trust. They stood with him there. It is only at that place you will stand that you will carry 3 million people. And he says, go forward. And you are walking towards the Red Sea. Go forward. Walking towards the Red Sea. And he said, by faith, they walked on dry land. He said, the Egyptians are saying to do, they were drowned. It's not confidence. It's trust. You have come to a place where you know the word. You know the technology of its operation. You have confidence in Jesus, the resurrection. Even when there are many opportunities, you have learned trust. So it doesn't matter who can help you. You find out from the monarch of Zion. You know, some people, it's challenge that brings them there. You heard the story of Apostle. He traveled to Abuja, looking up to his uncle that was a millionaire. The man gave him something that was less than his transport fare. When he stood at the bridge, he said, I will never cross this river again. If it means to die, let me die. At that point, there was no other alternative. His soul was taught a new language. It's the language of reliance. Absolute dependence on God. If you don't come to that spot, your challenge may kill you. And it's not because God is not strong. It's because you could not find trust. You must learn it now that you are conscious. You must look upon the word of God to educate you. Come to that spot in the spirit where you can rely on Jesus. Everything you are doing, those activities will fail. Those days when we began preaching, there are some songs that if you pick, you know there's an anointing in the song. So you look for those songs. We came to a point where we felt if you charge in tongues, and you release the word of God, things will happen. Until we started going to preach in different states. So you come to some states, all the songs you know, nobody knows them. So when you sing one, you are singing alone. You sing two, you are singing alone. You know that, okay, song doesn't work again. You now come to some meetings and it's dry season. Then the church have no windows. So air is blowing. Everybody's cold. They are sitting like this. You charge. When you finish praying in tongues and you remove the mic, you discover you were the only person praying. So we knew that we must beckon on Zion to give us power. Power is a tangible thing. Power is a tangible thing. You come for a meeting, you finish preaching, then they bring a dead person. That time, atmosphere has gone down. What you need now is power. You must find God and you must come to that spot in Him where there's trust. If not, your family will look at you and say, our brother now is a man of God. Though. He goes to prayers every day. And then you come. You tell them, this February, we have been fasting from January to March. And then one day, somebody is attacked. And lo and behold, you were dead. And then you lay hand and you scream the name of Jesus 5 times. And then the person loses consciousness. They have to run to the hospital quick. Because if they rely on this, your God, there will be challenge. Then you will know that there is a place in God you must find. It's called trust. It's a holy men of God. Holy men of God. These were people. They were called holy because it's not an act. It's not a disposition. It's a place. They were people that consecrated to God. They came to a point where they said either God works or nothing. So they said they were holy men. They were consecrated men of God. They were the type that the Holy Ghost could carry. They could carry them. Some of us are too busy for Jesus. You hear 2 messages and then you come there, you quote the same thing that the man of God is quoting. That thing the man spoke, he spoke from a vote of inspiration. That inspiration came from a government. When there is a need, that government will back him. But you who is quoting, you are quoting from him. When you have a challenge, he will not be there to back you because his name is not omnipotence. You must find trust. If not, your Christianity will be a joke. Everything you know in the face of challenge will collapse. It will collapse. It will collapse like a pack of cards. You can motivate yourself and come share one or two testimonies. There are 150 challenges. Two that happen by residual grace. You say, no. There is a grace in creation that makes everybody live. That's why I said the rain falls on both the bad and the good. It's called residual grace. When it is the grace of God working in your life, there is a level of consistency to prove that your faith is making it happen. A lot of people are weak and vulnerable because we are not taught truth. There's no trust, there's no confidence in Jesus. And the problem is, if you don't have confidence in Jesus, you have confidence in the flesh. You need to consecrate yourself for some time. You have heard a lot of theories, ideologies, and philosophies. You need to consecrate for some time. Paul said we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, having no confidence in the flesh. We are the separated ones. We departed, we detached ourselves from everything. Every philosophy around, we detached ourselves from it. We wanted to find God for ourselves. You can be part of a clan all your life, but in the day of trouble, it will be revealed that you were never part of them. Because the things that cannot swallow them up will swallow you up. I came to realize that the angels that God sent on errands, they are not emotional. They walk by definite instructions. They walk by the demands of the word of God. And if you don't have it, the angel, your angel will stand like this. A demon will stab you to death. He only responds to your faith, because only your faith can cross the dimensions. The angel is weeping, but he can't help you. He will stand like this and then return back to God. That's why you must grow in God. And growth is not a magic. You learn truth and you practice it. That's why I took time to show you. You learn truth, you practice them. There are times when God blesses us with his presence, glory. It's beautiful. We enjoy it. But those things, they are the privileges of God that man enjoy. What you walk with is the word. You walk by faith, not by sensory perceptions. God is looking for somebody who can trust him. What you call a challenge is not necessarily a challenge. What is actually a challenge is not the mountain you are seeing, it's the voice of God. If you don't have the voice of God, you think the Red Sea is the problem. The Red Sea is not the problem. The problem is whether you can access Zion and secure help. Because you will see many Red Seas. You will see many mountains. If you cannot find help in God, then there's a problem. That time we know there's a problem. Can you ask God to help you? We'll use 3 minutes and pray for the sick and take a few testimonies. Can you ask Jesus to help you? You believe a lot of things, they are not working. You keep believing them. God is not a God of evolution. Don't think by doing it over and over, something will happen. Nothing will happen. Before something happens, you must come to another level of insight, of understanding. Because it's only by understanding that you generate authority. God is a God of creation. When you get there, things will happen. I got tired of seeing people fall down. Got tired of seeing people cry and shout. And then I see them with their problem over and over and over again. I try everything I know. They are still in their problem. And now new. That there is something that must flow through me from another world. So I went back and began to check, how did Jesus do it? If I depend on atmosphere so much, how will I help the guy in the market? Because Jesus did his own ministry in the marketplace. How do I do it? There is something we need to learn. You know, if I preach, it's more difficult. You know, sometimes we preach here, before we round up, everybody is screaming and everything. Satan will want to put you under pressure to maintain it. It's not about falling down, my brother. The people you are talking to every day, have they come to a point where they know God? Have they come to a point where they can walk with God? Because that's what they actually need. It's a shame to come to church and you see 100 people surrounding one man. One man. This man has preached for 3 hours. He has imparted.
He stopped preaching. Then 30 people still run to him. Oh God. One man. So there is only one champion in 1,000 people. It's a sign of defect in discipleship. Because if there's accurate discipleship, at one man will pastor maximum 50. Ask God to help us. We need help. These are the things I practice every day. Because I'm tired of the gimmicks, tired of the charade. I practice them. Sometimes they are boring, but I give myself to it. Because the ones that I enjoy, I've done it for long. I'm not seeing the result I want to. I've cried in the presence. I've fallen under the power. I've come for meetings where my soul is as if it's on a hot pot. But I don't see the result I'm looking for. So I decided to shut certain things down and find Jesus.
Married to a pharmacist, and then it happens that this man died, and this was a woman that the Lord had been calling to intercession, to the place of prayer. She was so discerning that she literally picks things before they happen, but she was careless about it until her husband died. When her husband died, she realized she had no other choice, so she called her friends and said, let's pray for this man to come back to life. The friends prayed with her for 2 days and they got tired and they told her, it's the will of God, forget. And the friends left her. But she refused. She came to a point where everything she wanted to do depended only on her. So she stayed there in prayers. She prayed until she got to a crescendo in the spirit where her faith was released. And in heaven, an episode began to play. This was the husband telling her when he came back to life. He said, Jesus called him and told him that the faith of your wife has been released. And on this side, we can't resist faith. Heaven is controlled and regulated from earth by faith. Faith is the molecule in time that regulates the supernatural. He said, you have to go back. The man said, no, he's not coming. He said, go back. You know, when we pray for those who die here, it's because of the emotional attachment. If the person makes it to heaven, leave him home. It could be, some come back, they will fight you. The man said, I'm not coming back. He said, go back. Your wife's faith must be honored. And when the man was coming back, he descended through heights in heaven. And at a point, he saw angels fighting with some demonic beings. And then the swords the angels were wielding. Those swords were actually songs. When they sing the songs, they appear as blades of light. They appeared as blades of light.
The man didn't understand what was happening. The angels were singing, and what was coming were swords piercing through darkness and creating way for him to come into time. When he landed, he found himself singing the songs those angels were singing. It's a simple song, but in the spirit, the weight of that song was a tool of warfare. It was through that man's story that we discerned that most of the things that happened to us were instruments of war. You know, sometimes you wake up and then you are singing a song. You don't know that the warfare you have been standing in the place of prayer for months, that is your answer. The man came back and he was singing, amen, amen, blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, power and might be unto the Lord forever and ever. Amen. 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 You know, amen, amen means so be it. What the angels were uttering is that this man's return is a verdict from the mouth of God. You can't fight it. So the statement they were actually making was the judgment of Jehovah. They were communicating. He said, power and might, they belong to God. You can't stop it. It has been uttered from Zion. You can't resist it. These are tools of warfare. They are weapons of war. They are mysteries. They are captured in wisdom. See, sometimes if you know how the spirit realm works, you will become mighty in a short time. You wake up, there is a song. There is a song reverberating in your soul for weeks, and you never sing it. That's your victory. Can we rise up? That the power of God is not an emotion. It's a tangible thing. And if you don't have faith in the tangibility of the power, when you have challenges, you will fail. I want you to just focus on Jesus for 2 minutes and ask him to touch you. Listen. You need to develop confidence. See, consciously bring yourself to a place where you build confidence in God. Consciously. Make yourself come to places where you build confidence. You will need it in the day of trouble. Just tell Jesus now to touch you. The power of God is not an emotional thing. Ask the Lord to touch you. Don't be distracted. I have nothing to prove to you. I have nothing to prove to you. I've seen the power of God manifested in unfamiliar circumstances. But I want you to know so that you will have confidence. You will have confidence. You will have confidence in God. Holy Spirit, I want to pray for your sensitivity to be heightened so that you can perceive God. And then you can begin to interact with his presence and his power. Even when your emotions are not stimulated. Holy Spirit, look at the hearts of your children. You have nothing to prove to us. But you have blessings for us that we must take tonight. And so therefore I ask that you stretch your hands, Lord, and minister to us. Touch us from our hearts, Lord. Let there be transformation. And then even to our very bodies, let your power run through us and remove every plantation of darkness, every installation of the devil as a testament
of your love and of your presence. We want to be educated in a new dimension. We have trusted in things. We have manipulated things. Minister to us now. Precious Holy Spirit, breathe upon us. Breathe upon us. Come on, Lafayette, thank you. Come, just stop playing the keyboard. Let's just have it quiet for a moment. Focus on Jesus. The sounds are gone now. You know, some people cannot even focus on God for 2 minutes. I'm giving 2 minutes for a focus so that you can have a touch. Touch, Lord. And please, don't be distracted. It's not about falling down. There are many ways the power of God ministers to you. Sometimes it brings you an inspiration. Sometimes it brings you an enlightenment. Sometimes it convicts your heart. Sometimes it convicts your heart. Where are those who were sick? Stay focused on Jesus. If you were sick, just lift your hands. Okay, just step out. Just step out. Take a step forward. But I will use 1 minute to minister to the sick. If you are not part of those who are sick, focus on Jesus. Don't worry, there are not much. If you are healed, if you are here, you are sick, you are healed, you will know. Just wave so that we see your hand. Then we hope to take a testimony or two. Any of you here who is sick will know. Is there anybody here? You are healed, you will know. If you will know, okay. You are healed, you will know. That's one. Who's the second person? If you are here and you are healed, you will know. Let me see your hand. You will, as in, there will be a visible manifestation of healing. Visibly, you will know you are healed. Just one person. That means the rest of you will have to confirm. Alright. We'll pray for you. We trust that you will confirm and bring testimonies. But I would have preferred it if you are here and you are healed, you will know. That would have been much easier. Because the goal is not just to get you healed. The goal is to get you to believe in the power of God. Because when God heals you, He sends you to heal others. You become an evangelist. Not in the sense of the fivefold, but you evangelize the goodness of God. Alright, in your heart, can you whisper quietly and tell the Lord what you want Him to do for you? Quietly. Quietly. I'm consciously shutting out emotions so that we will learn how to practice these things. Because this is what will make us become bigger in God. I will not ask you what's wrong with you. We'll just lay hands on you and the power of God will come upon you and you'll be healed. But send in your testimonies. Since most of you cannot tell if you are healed. Reverend, we'll just a few minutes. Receive life. You don't need to pray. Receive life. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Receive life. I command the yoke to be broken. I command affliction be broken. I command affliction be broken. You devil of darkness. Out of her! Command affliction be broken. Be broken from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Receive life. Receive life. Receive life. Receive life. Receive life. Let every cell receive the life of God. In the name of Jesus. Just help Pastor that she doesn't get injured. Touch!
Receive life. Receive life. Receive life. Receive life. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Healing. 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 You and the congregation be talking to Jesus. Don't be distracted. We'll be out of here in a few minutes. But we'll take testimonies. You will see the outcome. So you'll learn how to exercise your faith consciously. You will see the outcome.
Family, I command.
command you, remove your finger. I command the chains to be broken. Just 1 minute, can you rise up and lift up your hands? See, there are most of you here that God has told you time and again to pray for the sick. But you are thinking you have to get somewhere, gain some stature, or come to some level before you begin to obey. You will wait all your life. Don't allow the blessings of God become a snare in your way or in your path. If we make these things become periodically generated, there will be a crisis. Don't allow the things God blesses us with become our limitations. I want to pray for you now. God, I've been asking you, pray for the sick, pray for the sick. Some of you have designated Saturdays. You say you will pray for the sick, but you've never gone to pray for the sick. Because you are expecting something, you are waiting for something, and then you have made the word of God of none effect. Lift your hands and ask God for that push. For that push that you need. Who knows what you are praying to God for? That's what would have opened the door for entering into it. Ask God now for an impartation. The push that you need in order to enter into that which He has been instructing you to. As I join faith with you tonight, I ask that the Holy Ghost will strengthen you from within. I ask that the Holy Ghost will cause His hand to guide your steps. I ask that the Holy Ghost will empower and invigorate you and to challenge your resolve so that there will be a shift in your paradigm and bring you to that point of obedience, absolute obedience. I pray that the anointing of God, as I pray for you now, even there's one of you that what you sense, what you used to sense in your hand, you've lost it. You've lost it. The power of God that used to come upon your hand, you have lost it. You have lost it. Who is the person? You have lost that power. You? You've lost it. On account of disobedience, you've lost it. Ask the Lord for mercy. Ask the Lord for mercy now. You have been taught certain things, and those things have made you run into error. Begin to pray for the sick where you live. And as God leads you, you go out and begin to pray. And I pray for everything you've lost to be replaced. I ask for restoration in the name of Jesus. Let there be a restoration. Everything the devil has stolen from you, I ask that they be returned now in the name of Jesus. Some of you were blazing. You were blazing. Your heart was flying up there in the sky. Power, vigor, desire, zeal, passion. You can't find it anymore. You have lost it. You have lost it. You have lost it. But the Holy Ghost restores now. The Holy Ghost restores now. In the name of Jesus. Go in this thy might. God bless you.